Okay, so think about all the tech in your house right now. Smartwatches, gaming consoles, maybe even your doorbell, right? And definitely the endless apps on your phone.
They're everywhere.
Exactly. And every single tap, every download, every time you click allow access. Well, that's actually a pretty big decision point. These things, these smart devices, they aren't just handy gadgets.
No, they're not. They're gateways. Often really sensitive gateways into your home, into your family's life.
And how you handle those little interactions, that really shapes how safe things are for everyone in the house.
And that's exactly what we're diving into today. The goal here isn't to scare anyone or overload you with tech jargon. It's about building a framework for what the research is calling digital mindfulness.
Right, like smart device hygiene. I like that term.
Yeah, exactly. We want to give you knowledge that feels actionable, so you feel empowered, not overwhelmed.
What really jumped out at me from the sources was this finding that honestly, most people, kids, adults, older folks, they don't really stop to think about three basic things.
What's the app really collecting?
Yeah, and who gets that data in the end?
And critically, what happens if it leaks? What are the risks if it's misused?
Totally. And we're here to try and shift that perspective, move away from just passively clicking yes to get the thing working,
Which we all do.
which we all do, towards being more active and aware, making informed choices.
And that brings us right into this core tension, doesn't it? The whole psychology behind digital risk.
Oh, absolutely. Because let's be real, we're kind of wired for the easy route, aren't we? The source material talks about these human tendencies, like skipping the terms and conditions or hitting remind me later on updates. Again,
Guilty as charged.
right. We just want the tech to work instantly. Convenience is just, it's a powerful driver.
It really is. And that impulse, that desire for the shortcut, that's exactly what cyber threats often rely on. When we choose speed over pausing for a second, we open the door, we create these little vulnerabilities, and that's how sensitive stuff gets exposed. Photos, location history, your contacts. Technology is designed to be smooth, easy, but sometimes that ease makes us blind to the actual risk hiding underneath.
It's like wanting the best home security, but I don't know, never bothering to lock the front door. We need something to cut through that bias, like a mental thumpy note. What did the research find was the key message, the counter idea? Yeah, the core aha moment they landed on is this phrase, convenience may open the door, but curiosity keeps danger out.
I like that curiosity.
It's not about being paranoid or needing a computer science degree. It's just about building the habit of that momentary pause.
Like, wait a second.
Exactly. If that free game suddenly wants microphone access, by that pause, that's your digital smoke detector going off. It just makes you ask, hang on, why does this app need this? What happens if I say no? That's really practical. Okay, so once we've got that pause habit starting to form, we can build on it. Let's get into the three big lessons for everyone using these devices, kids, teens, grandparents, everyone. The three pillars of app awareness.
Right.
Pillar one, permissions.
Yeah.
This one is just, it's fundamental. We have got to teach everyone in the family that when you grant permission, you're literally unlocking a door to their private data. And we need to think critically about it. The
Absolutely.
sources had a great example, like if you download a Suiklu flashlight app
Right.
and it asks for your contacts list and microphone.
Huge red flag. Why would it need that?
Exactly. It makes no sense.
And the habit isn't just about saying no initially when something feels
No.
off. It's also about going back and reviewing those permissions later.
Ah, okay. Like checking in.
Yeah. Apps often sneak in new requests during updates. Those minor updates you barely notice. So maybe every few months, just do a quick audit. Look at what has access to what and turn off anything that seems excessive or weird, especially for features you don't even use.
Okay, permissions check. Got it. But pillar two, data use. This is where I think a lot of us get stuck. Everyone says read the privacy policy, but seriously, who does that?
Yeah, nobody has time for 10,000 words of legalese for a puzzle game. It's unrealistic.
So if an app is free, we kind of know we're the product, right? They're getting something. What's the quick way, the shortcut the research found to figure out the risk without reading the whole novel?
That's a fair point. The research acknowledged reading the whole thing isn't practical. The shortcut is to scan for specific keywords, either in the first paragraph of the policy or sometimes even in the App Store description itself.
Keywords like.
Look for things like sharing personal identifiers with third parties or aggregating data for targeted advertising, maybe data retention period. Cut through the fluff.
Yeah.
If it clearly says it keeps your location data forever and shares it widely. Well, okay, at least you know the price of that free app now. It's not blind trust anymore. It's a calculated risk you're choosing to take or not take. That feels much more manageable. All right, pillar three, developer credibility. We can't just go by the star rating anymore, can we? So what are the key checks before hitting download?
Okay, three quick things to glance at. First, the number of downloads, is it reasonably popular or suspiciously low? Second, the developer's name, does it look legit or is it misspelled, trying to mimic a famous one?
Ah, like those clone apps.
Exactly. And third, check the reviews, not just the rating, but the pattern. Are they all recent? Do they sound real or generic? And definitely stick to the official app stores, Google Play, Apple's App Store. They do at least some basic security vetting.
So we're basically teaching everyone to spot those fakes, the ones designed to trick you into giving up passwords or installing malware.
Precisely. And look, teaching these steps, it's not about making everyone suspicious of everything.
Right. It's about fostering awareness. Empowerment through awareness, making sure everyone in the family is actually choosing what digital stuff they bring into the home.
Okay, so we've got awareness. How do we make this a whole family thing? The research really pushed back against that old model, you know, where it's just parents telling kids what to do, or the younger generation fixing stuff for the older one. Mm. It suggests we need to build a shared shield.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it. The sources were clear. Cybersecurity works best when it's collaborative, when everyone chips in. It makes sense.
When you shift the conversation from, do this because I told you, to, hey, here's what we know about this kind of risk, you actually empower everyone to use their own unique knowledge.
I really like that. Yeah. Because kids often know the latest app trends or scams way before we do.
Instantly.
Teens are often brilliant at spotting a fake online profile or a dodgy link.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, older relatives sometimes have this, like, built-in skepticism from life experience that can sniff out a too good to be true offer a mile away.
Exactly. It's about using those different strengths. So you break it down into real, relatable tasks where everyone can actually contribute something useful.
Okay, give me an example. Well, maybe it's a shared task. Helping grandpa check which apps are tracking his location unnecessarily. Like that weather app. Does it really need to know where he is 24/7?
Right.
Good one. Because that data shows patterns, like when the house is empty.
Precisely. Or on the flip side, teach your teenager how to tell the difference between a real app update notification and one of those fake urgent pop-ups trying to fish for their password.
The reset your password, NW, panic message.
Yeah.
Teaching them to pause, close the pop-up, and check manually in the app store or settings. That makes them part of the family's defense. The source summed it up so well. Cyber safety grows stronger when it's shared. Every conversation is a shield.
Mm.
Love that. Okay, so conversations are shields. That leads us perfectly into the next bit. Turning awareness into resilience. Because knowing is one thing, but making it stick is another. Consistency is key. The sources suggested some actual family rituals.
Yeah, moving from just knowing stuff to actually doing stuff regularly. The first ritual they suggest is the app cleanup day.
Okay, like digital spring cleaning.
Sort of. Schedule it every 3 or 4 months. And the big win here isn't just freeing up storage space on your phone, though that's nice. It's about getting rid of what they call zombie apps.
Zombie apps? Sounds ominous.
Huh. Well, they kind of are. These are the apps you downloaded ages ago, maybe used once, totally forgot about.
Mm-hmm. I definitely have some of those.
Right. And the developer hasn't updated it since, like, 2021. So it's just sitting there on your device with old, potentially vulnerable code.
But enemy's still holding on to permissions you gave it way back when.
Exactly. It's like leaving a side door unlocked and forgotten. So deleting what you don't use, that just closes those potential entry points. Simple.
Brilliant. Okay, what's the next ritual? Privacy check-ins.
Yep. Use natural calendar markers, start of summer break, long weekends, whatever works for your family. Just take a few minutes together to look at key settings.
Like passwords.
Passwords, maybe review parental controls if you use them. Check if any major apps have asked for new permissions since the last time you looked. Making it a regular thing takes the scariness out of it, normalizes talking about privacy.
And the third one was mindful tech use. This isn't just about screen time limits, is it?
No, it's more about avoiding that that passive zoned out state, you know, mindless scrolling.
Yeah.
Things like having device-free dinners. Or maybe a no-screen Sunday morning. It's not just about less time. It's about preventing those moments where you're bored and just randomly click on a weird ad or download something impulsive without thinking.
Because when we're passive, our guard is down.
Exactly. Our critical judgment just dips. So alongside these rituals, we need those simple, everyday tools and tips to make safety easier. Okay, let's rattle those off. Quick wins. First, only use official app stores. No random websites. Absolutely crucial. Second, turn on automatic updates and leave them on. Outdated software is hacker heaven. Updates plug security holes.
Get a decent mobile security app from a trusted brand. It's not foolproof, but it's a good safety net. Catches known malware, flags leaky apps.
Do those permission audits we talked about, especially check location, camera, and microphone access regularly. If your calculator app suddenly wants camera access, ask why. Okay. And fifth, circles back a bit, but it's vital. Make sure everyone knows how to spot a scam. Yes. Teach the telltale signs. Fake urgency, unbelievable prizes, unexpected requests for logins or personal info. Remind them. Legitimate companies rarely ask for sensitive stuff out of the blue via text or email links.
So we boil this whole deep dive down. The sources gave us like 5 key takeaways, right?
Yeah.
Easy to remember.
Yep. Designed to be practical.
Ask before you tap. Question those permissions. 2, teach by example. Show your family you check your own settings.
Delete what you don't use. Fewer apps, fewer risks, plus your phone runs faster. Bonus. 4, stay updated. Keep auto updates on for everything.
Talk regularly. Make digital safety a normal family chat, not a lecture after something goes wrong.
Ultimately, the strongest message from all this research, the thing that really hit home for me, was that asking the question, is this app safe, isn't about being fearful.
No.
No, it's actually an act of care. It's digital care. And the best defense for your family, it doesn't come from the fanciest software. It comes from shared awareness, a bit of patience, and just staying connected with each other about this stuff. It's about collective vigilance, really.
That's a great way to frame it.
Which leads us right to our final thought for you to chew on. If we actually treat digital safety as a shared family value, something we learn and practice together across all the ages, how does that process, that intentional effort, maybe affect the trust and connection we have in our offline relationships too?
Mm-hmm.
By making this a team effort, how do we make sure technology stays something that empowers everyone in the family instead of something that feels, I don't know, intimidating or risky?